looks like we have a really good number here with this this evening in the auditorium, and I hope that those of you who are out on Facebook world will join with us in our prayer and our songs. And so I believe at this time it is time to get started. So Brother Connor, would you please start us in our opening prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now to the start of our little congregational meeting today. Hopefully that everything we say and do is going to be done in honor of you, Father, and exemplifies all of the traits and the characteristics that you would have us to possess. We hope that everything we say and do and sing tonight, again, glorifies your name and your plan for us. And we hope that everything we do is pleasing to you. We ask that you be with those who couldn't be here tonight, whether for physical illness or for spiritual illness, that either way you can heal them and or at least give them some measure of comfort, and that you again be with us as we go throughout the class and hear the songs and the invitation tonight, that we can stay focused and be knowledgeable and hopefully learn a little bit or teach a little bit to somebody else, and that we can grow and help other people grow right along with us. Again, just please be with us both physically and spiritually. And in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, everyone. Mark chapter 11. All right, Mark chapter 11. In chapter 10, we talked about, by way of review, who was the person we talked about in Mark chapter 10? Just find out who was paying attention. Guy couldn't see. Does anybody know his name? Bartimaeus. All right, so that was our review question. We talked about Bartimaeus at great length the last time. Does anybody else have anything they want to say about Bartimaeus and that incident before we move on to chapter 11? Well, all right. So since we have anyone else wants to talk about that, let's get into chapter 11. So in chapter 11, we find that they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethphage, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, and he sent forth two of his disciples. Now, one thing about Bethany is that it's a place where it seems like Jesus, in other accounts, visited a lot, and so he had disciples and friends and people that he really knew. So that was kind of like a home away from home, as it were. And so they came near to Jerusalem, and to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And again, the Mount of Olives is another important place where Jesus would be. He sent forth two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you are entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him there." Now, you know, you think about it is that if you're the person who owned the colt, all right, and two guys came in and they just grabbed your animal and took off, I think most of you might say, "What do you think you're doing? That's my animal." But they said, "The Lord needs it." Interestingly enough, the person on the other end probably knew what they meant by the Lord. So he says, "And he will send him that way." And so they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said unto him, "Even as Jesus has commanded," and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Now, let's just go back again. Remember, Jesus at this time is very, very, very well known. It's like I don't know when if someone talked about anybody who's in the entertainment business. I don't know. I'm not. Who's a current entertainer? I'm gonna try to get it. I mean, I know Carolyn's looking, you know, like, well, I don't about. Okay, so some of you who are younger, who's the big up and coming, biggest and brightest, the superstars? And please don't say Justin Bieber. All right. All right. George Clooney. Well, that ages us a little bit too. Okay. But let's just suppose that somebody said Donald Trump. All right, we'll just use that. I think everybody knows him. And say, well, Donald Trump wants this. He wants to stay at your place of this. I mean, most of you would make allowances for Donald Trump, right? Because of who he is. I mean, he's well known. You know, well, I gave my animal to Donald Trump, and he was sitting on my animal and blah, blah, blah. So there again, Jesus... They may not have done this because they believed in Jesus as being the Messiah or being the great teacher, but he was a very, very important and well-known man, and people flocked from everywhere to see him. So it would have been a matter of pride for someone to have a celebrity riding their cult. All right? So they did not get any argument about that, and so they let him go. And they brought their, okay, anything else on here before we go any farther? Okay, then verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Now, here again is that on him and on him. Okay, what's wrong with those pronouns that as you read that? They set their garments upon Jesus or on the colt? Yeah. Yeah, the big H and the little H, yes? In it. Yeah. It's because King James Version says, and they cast their garments on him. On Jesus? No. Upon the colt. All right? And really, if you know anything about when royalty came into town, they didn't come usually bareback on. I mean, their animals were probably as decked out as they were. So, once again, they decorated, no, it's not a parade, but they decorated the float before it was going to go into town or whatever. So this was really an event that was happening. So they cast their garments upon the colt, and Jesus was sitting upon it. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees and strawed them in the way. Now, what kind of branches were they spreading? Palm branches. All right. So what's the significance of palm branches? There's called Palm Sunday, but there's also Ash Wednesday. All right. In not only in Catholic liturgy, but also in the Greek Orthodox liturgy and Episcopalian, Easter Sunday is a big day. So is Palm Sunday, and so is Ash Wednesday. Okay, no one has checked into the phone bridge, and I want to get rid of this music. Yeah, Deborah, yeah, in the Old Testament. Yeah. Well, this observance right here is actually reserved religiously, and so there is a Sunday, and it's four Sundays. It's the Sunday prior to the Sunday before Easter, or what they call the Easter Day, and that is a day. That's a day when everybody brings palms. To be blessed by the priest. All right, and it's a way of honoring Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And then what they do with the palms is that they are then burned, and then they're usually burned on Tuesday, And then the ashes are collected, so the supplicants will come on Ash Wednesday, and so they're burned on Tuesday, and then the people who come forward will have a cross. They'll come to the priest, and the priest will put a sign of a cross on their foreheads, and that okay. Hey,
is the Ash Wednesday following
here? Yes. Right, what it is is that the palms are presented, but the palms from the previous year are burnt. Okay, it's not they don't burn the ones on Sunday. They burn the palms from the previous year. But those are the palms that are used, and that is supposed to be a sign of what? Does anybody know what that's supposed to be a sign of? Well, it's a sign of Catholicism, first of all, but it's also a sign that you are a believer, because not everybody who has the mark on their foreheads, and some of that goes to the thing what they talk about in the Book of Revelation, where they have the mark on their foreheads. Well, that is the sign of the believers, and there is also something else that happens on the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. Does anybody know what that's called? Yes. Okay. We are going to tie one on, because we're not going to do anything during this season until after Sunday, and then we can go back to partying. All right. So that's all part of that. And Mardi Gras is one of the things that it's just like anything goes. I believe the translation is Fat Tuesday. I believe that's what it means in translation. So it's just a day where just everything goes. But I mean, that wasn't happening here now. I'm just saying, but you can see how the religious world has turned a lot of things into an opportunity to get drunk. What do you think St. Patrick's Day is all about? It's a matter of just drinking green beer till you can't drink anymore. And I remember the song about in heaven there ain't no beer, that's why we drink it here, and they'll sing those songs. All right, but Jesus came into town, and he came into town with a lot of pomp and a lot of circumstance. And he was afforded a royal entry into the city. Now, again, this would reinforce many of the people's idea that Jesus is going to be the conquering hero who's actually going to come in, and he's actually going to get rid of the Romans, he's going to get rid of all the oppressions, going to turn the land of Judea back into the world power that it was under David. Because they heard they knew about Jesus' lineage by this time. They knew that he was the son of David. They knew he was the one who was going to come to be a king, and they wanted a king, and his disciples, it sounds like, they really wanted a king really bad, by the way they were talking. If you remember our last study, they were all wondering, like, who's going to be in second command, who's going to be third command, right-hand man, left-hand man? So, once again, here's the time for Jesus now to really take his place. He kind of laid low for 3 years, but now he's making his move, he's making his mark, and he's going to really establish this earthly kingdom. And probably that is another one of the reasons why all those who afforded him the royal welcome, they were probably those who were of the Israelite race or the Jewish religion, and they probably were saying all this so that all the Romans could actually hear. So it was a big, big deal. So they went before, and they that followed cried, Hosanna. I'm in verse 9 now. Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father, who? David. All right. Does that also tell you a little about what they're expecting? All right. The kingdom of our father, David, that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So, possible reason why some of the people who were following him and saying such things could possibly even say only a week later, crucify him. Because he wasn't having this king thing. He wasn't wanting to take his place. He wasn't going to assert himself in the political realm. Some could have been very disillusioned with Jesus not being the king as they expected him to be. So there again, and so they were crying all this out. Anybody else have anything to say about that part before we go any farther? Well then, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all the things, and now when evening time was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. What does, I mean, really, Mark is so nonspecific with a whole lot of things that go on. I mean, we know in other places when Jesus came into the temple, he cleaned house, if you remember that. But this time, it just says he looked about, and then he left in evening time. So he was there all day and left. Doesn't say anything about what he taught. It doesn't say anything about any of the actions he did. He was just there, and he went back to Bethany with the rest of the other 12. That's it. And who's part of this 12, by the way? Judas. All right. So Judas is with them. Judas is part of the inner circle of disciples. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And he said, okay, now this is starting in verse 12 now. This is an anecdotal story that Mark included. And on the next day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and he saw a fig tree afar off, having leaves, and he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. What's that all about? Is angry? Go ahead, Vicky.
Well, no, it wasn't fruit.
Yes. That's right. Right. And this wasn't Jesus being petty. That's the, you know, some people when they read it, they think, well, Jesus being petty, it wasn't time for it wasn't time for figs. And so what are you doing, Jesus? I mean, that's exactly right. It is a visual parable of what Jesus expects. He sees us. And for those of you who are on Facebook, in case you didn't hear the comments that Vicky made, is that there was a lot of promise. This fig tree was full of leaves. It should be ready for fruit, and there was none. And God expects us to be fruitful. The condemnation that was found that we found in a time where in the book of Hebrews says, so there's a time when you ought to have been teachers. You still need someone to teach you the first principles. You're like a baby, still needs to drink milk, and you can't even eat. Okay, Laura. Always to be fruitful, yes. Because, well, you know, we are expected to grow. I mean, there's a command in Peter that we are to grow in grace and knowledge. So it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And so for us to be as we find in the book of Timothy, where it says that we are to study or to be diligent, to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth. So there is that responsibility that we all have. And if we are fruitless, the same condemnation that happened to this fruit tree, this fig tree, can be ours. And so we don't want that to happen. And so so anything else on that, on verse 14, up till then? Because we're going to keep on moving on. All right, then. And verse 15, so now they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. So once again, we find Jesus. What else did Jesus have to say about this situation? I mean, remember, this isn't the first time Jesus was in the temple either. But what was Jesus' reaction to what he saw there in the temple? Now, when we first read, he just entered the temple and looked around about everything that was going on. And it's possible that he just saw the circus that was happening, and he was ruminating about that. Could be. But the next day he did something about it. Next day he did something about it. All right? So, what is wrong with what was going on in the temple? Yes, it was basically a livestock. You know, now people came to sacrifice, right? Well, the people need something to sacrifice. We're doing a religious, you know, this is a religious thing, because we're aiding and helping people who have traveled from near and far to come in and to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And so we're doing a vital task. This is helping people to be spiritual. I think, you know, in any situation, you could probably talk yourself into everything as being, that's what we're doing. We're doing something good. Okay. So what was the role of the money changers? Yes. Mm-hmm. And the idea with it is that if you go to, Daryl, could you even use dollars in Germany? Or do you have to all use the euro? Okay, it was euros. So you give that person $100. What do you get in?
They take a cut. There is an expense.
Okay.
There's an exchange rate to charge. It's 1-to-1. 100 euros equal to $100. You get a $100 bill. You're still not getting back 100 euros. You're getting euros minus whatever that transaction.
Okay.
You go in and you can't take care of the money. You have to take your $100 and change it into Cuban money, but they charge you 10%. Then when you leave, you can't take the money out.
The den of thieves.
And then they would count. You didn't know what you had anyway.
That's right.
And they would count, put some in the pocket. I'll do it.
And how would you know what the exchange is anyhow? I mean, I'm sure in Jerusalem they didn't probably have a billboard showing what the daily exchange was, and so it's just what. It's eeny, meeny, miny, moe. This is what you get to go. And that's it. There is no way of telling, but Jesus knew what was going on. Good, Karen. I'll get Laura. Mm-hmm.
And it would make it a lot easier for them to
That, yeah, the, and what they see is what Jesus saw. You have turned the Lord's house into a place of commerce. That's the condemnation right there. It was just buying and selling. And I haven't been to a whole lot of places, but I've been to enough places to know that when she says if there's an ATM in a lobby, you do see ATMs in lots of lobbies out that way. You see bookstores. You see coffee houses, or you know, like their own little mini Starbucks, gift shops. All right. It's a matter of convenience.
So it was, all the way around.
Mm-hmm. And so again, what about the word sacrifice? Convenience and sacrifice are on two different ends of the spectrum there. So the convenient thing or the sacrifice thing. Oh, I want to hit the easy button. Because the easy button is the convenient way to do it. So, yes, I can understand why Jesus was justifiably angry. Now, is it wrong to be angry then? Is it ever a sin to be angry?
Is it ever? Yeah, sure that it is. But this shows that it's not, just being angry in and of itself isn't.
No. It's, yeah, the Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. If there was someone who stole something out of the parking lot, okay, and you knew who it was, you have every right to be angry with that person, okay? Now to go and beat them up, or to call them names or do a whole lot of other things, the problem with this is that when we're angry about something, we have a tendency to overdo it. Sometimes when we reply to someone out of anger, those angry words are probably the worst things we could ever do. I mean, yes.
So they're there for a purpose, and in my opinion, for myself, it helps when I get angry because, all right, this time I blew up, I realized. That was wrong. Next time I got to be better.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Jesus had angry indignation over what was going on in God's house. It was just scandalous what was going on there. Okay, and so that's the point is that this sin has now been called out and exposed. Okay, who allowed what went on in the temple? I mean, there was two different groups of people. Okay, we had the Pharisees and Sadducees. Which one of those groups were the ones who were primarily involved with the ongoing things that happened in the temple? It was the Sadducees. The Sadducees were basically now the quote-unquote priests, and most of them were appointed by Herod, and they were the overseeing a lot of things went on in there, and I imagine especially what was going on into the treasury, especially. And but the idea with it is that Jesus has called them out, and called them out and called them a den of thieves. And nothing could go in and out, though, of that unless it had the stamp of approval of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. That's the kind of control that the Pharisees and Sadducees both had on the people. It was
they probably didn't mind, but they were probably getting treasure.
Well, again, follow the money. That's a well-known phrase. But look what happened. Okay, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it. All right? They heard exactly what Jesus had called this place a den of thieves. And again, the scribes and the priests. Didn't say anything about the Pharisees in this case here, but the chief priests and the chief priests against, again, were the ones, as we talked about before, were actually Herod's group of people. And they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared Jesus. Now, can you imagine what would happen if he came there day after day after day and did this in the temple? That they would like that very much? Having their money changers' tables turned over and, well, which is mine, which is mine? I don't know, it's all there all over the floor. Where, you know, whoever grabs first gets the most, I guess. But the idea is that they had the, and you know, and then how about all these animals? If the last time I ever was in any barn, it didn't smell like roses, all right? And so that smell had to have been in that same vicinity. Okay, go ahead, Connor. And if you also remember that now Jesus came in as the conquering hero, he came in as and everybody was all excited about Jesus coming in. You know, the Hosanna to the King, who's going to bring the kingdom of David back. This is our town. This is now. It's going to be our time. It's going to be our place to be the rulers, and we're going to be on top now. And everyone else is going to be in second place. So all the people were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. And the scribes and Pharisees and the chief priests were upset about that doctrine as well, if you remember that. When the evening came, he went back out of the city. So he came into town, did what he came to do, okay, and at the evening, he went back out. All right, anything else there before we go on to verse 20 now? All right, then we move on. And verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling him to remembrance, says unto him, Master, look at the fig tree, which you cursed, and it's withered away. All right, so Peter didn't forget, more than likely neither did the rest. But, well, there it is. It's all withered, just like you said, okay? And Jesus said this, have faith in God. For truly I say to you that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe it that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which in heaven forgives your trespasses. All right, so can you see in these verses the power of positive thinking? Does that sound like one of your speakers who want to get up and try to inspire you? Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Have you ever heard that phrase before? You can be anything you want to be. All you do is ask, and God's going to give it to you. Forget about that. Pay no attention to that man over there. Whatever God...
You know, it says
Yes.
Well, he says it. Yeah. I get it. But, you know, there's a lot of people that were expecting that earthly kingdom. But it's going to be in God's time. And it's going to be through his deliverance.
And, you know, there again is that there's a lot of us who have mountains in our way in our lifetime. Okay? There's mountains that get in the way. Maybe one of our mountains is that I'm impatient. I have to have it now. And so I want patience, and Lord, give it to me now. Well, the Lord will give you patience. How do you get patience? Trials. James chapter 1 will say the very same thing, is that if you want to get patience, if you want patience, you have to go through the trials. And that is really what makes you patient. Being able to endure some of this and not getting your way when you want it your way. And every time you cry, you aren't going to get what you cry for. But you're going to get exactly what you need. I remember hearing that a lot of times when I was growing up. You ain't going to get what you want, but you're going to get what you need, and you need a good tuning. And yes. And
that verse 22 all the way through 24 sounds great, but really the, I know it's all important here, is actually having 25
weeks. Yes.
Directing. How many of us sort of that all the time? Forgiveness is hard. True forgiveness. God said that not only will we forget, but he'll forget about it.
Uh-huh.
He'll let it go. He'll wipe the slate clean. But at least here on this, you know, but you know, we get that warning, 26. Something that I know that I'm always.
You want to get
even?
Yeah, you want to get even. You don't want to forgive. You want to get even.
Right. Yeah. You get caught up in the imagery of, you know, moving the mountain. Real peace, real directive for us. What we're supposed to do to be Christ-like. Against anyone, give him.
Let it go.
Can't be more direct than that. Yep. Doesn't say anything about if they apologize or if they repent or anything. Just tell us what to do.
Well, the idea is God is going to be the one. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So what else do we need? I mean, if they don't repent, if they don't change, well, God's going to take care of that. And it's not for us to take care of it either. And that's a really good point about the strongest points is found in 25 and 26. All right? So I know we have just a short amount of time here. So they come to Jerusalem again, and as he is walking in the temple, there comes to the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and I can just hear him say right now, okay, now, who died and made you God so that you can say these things? Who gave you this type of authority? All right. It says, so what did, how, who gave you this kind of authority to do these things? Jesus says, okay, look, I will also ask you one question, and you answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Let's see. Well, if we say it's from heaven, he's going to say, well, then why don't you listen to him? Why don't you believe him? But if we shall say it's of men, well, they feared the people because they feared that John was a great person. And so, okay, what is it? What are you going to say? We can't say. We're not going to tell you. That sounds like a bunch. That doesn't sound like kids on the schoolyard. I'm not telling. This is okay then. I'm not going to tell you either. So there again, the question that they asked and then the response that Jesus gave, they found themselves stumped one more time. They couldn't say one way or the other. And that's the way Jesus did. Jesus stopped these guys Every single time. Right when they thought, well, now we got him. We've got this thing figured out. No. Turn back around. They're the ones who got egg on their face once again. All right? So I believe that's that finishes the chapter.
It shows their dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they wouldn't answer. You know, that they were playing politics. Instead of just answering whatever they believe, you know, they were more concerned about worldly, how that would impact
because
their position or what the people would do instead of just answering the question.
Yeah. And so that's the problem with this is the praise of men. All right, Brandon, you got the songs? Okay, so Brandon's going to lead our first song tonight, and it's number
83.
Okay, open up your songbooks to number 83. And after we have that song, we're going to have an exhortation. And what's our exhortation number? 611. I'll put that number on the board, but okay. So number 83 and number 611. And thank you very much for your attention and your comments. It was a fantastic class tonight. Lord willing, we're going to go right into Mark chapter 12 on Sunday morning.
God is so good. God is so
So I've had tire trouble recently, a lot. I found a screw in another one this afternoon. It's not over yet. So come Monday afternoon, I guess it was, I blow out the spare that's on the truck at this point, on my van, on the side of I-20 in between exit 92 and 93, right? So that's bad enough. Sunday night, I threw my phone in the toilet. I don't recommend, just so y'all know, guys, I don't recommend holding the phone. So, now I'm on I-20, Monday afternoon, between 92 and 93, no phone. You know, I've got, like, progressive roadside assistance. This would have been no big deal, but no phone. So, what did we do in the old days before phones when you were in this situation? Walk. Right? So I start walking. I walk about couple hundred yards, probably. Remember, I don't have my office keys there in the van. So I turn around, walk back to the van, start walking in. So you know how this kind of trudge thing goes, right? I'm looking at the asphalt, trudging along. What did I think to do, thankfully? Pray, right? Because I was hot. I said, God, please, can you send me somebody? Send me somebody I know. Please, trudging along. Eventually, I look up and see this fella walking towards me with a cowboy hat, some steampunk looking sunglasses on, and you know, big smile on his face as Mr. John McQuilliam is walking towards me. I looked over his shoulder, and there's that white tree sitting right up there. He apologizes for me having to walk so far. He said, Jennifer doesn't know how to get off the road quick enough. So, first thing he says, though, or first thing I say to him when he gets to me, is I said, I should have known he'd send you. So, I want to read James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Pretty simple, right? The writing here, pretty straightforward. You suffer and pray. Now, I can't say I was suffering too bad. I mean, it was hot, but it wouldn't kill me, right, to walk. But I prayed. And sometimes, we talk about in Bible class, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes God's timeline is longer than yours. Me and God were on the same clock that afternoon. Because he sent somebody. One more thing. I hope they're on Facebook. But anyways, he said they usually don't even drive it in. Jennifer just happened to turn out the wrong way. I said, God had it. So that's my testimony for you guys. Prayer worked. Prayer worked. Right? Back 11, 12 years ago, I prayed for a wife. Prayer worked. Please pray all the time. This other one too, we got sickness going on, right? It mentions that. It mentions what happens with sick people. Pray for them. Right? We can pray we don't get sick. If we get sick, we pray we get well. Right? And actually here too, it mentions something that might even help. You call these elders, I bet they'll come pray with you. So call them. So there's my message for you. Pray. No matter what's going on, pray. If you're on I-20 and it's hot, pray. And maybe God will be on your timeline like he was for me. So if there's anything we can do for you, though, we can certainly pray with you tonight. You know, if there's something you want us to pray with you about or for you, we'll be happy to do that. Or if there's anyone here that needs to be baptized so your sins can be washed away, we'd be happy to do that for you as well. So just come and let it be known as we stand and sing.
Glory divine. Hallelujah.
Jesus is mine.
Just a few announcements before it leads us in our closing prayer. First of all, I don't know about y'all, but I know I've kind of said this before, but there's certain songs, you know, that you hear every time, and Sunlight, there was a older gentleman who was in a congregation. Oh, but he was like a grandfather to me. He would lead singing, and he would lead that song. And as weak as he was, he would get up there, and he would grab the pew. He would start singing, and he would just rock back and forth. Beautiful man. Anyways, thank you, Brandon. I'll kick you in the knee later. All right. So, only this is, my family and I, we will be traveling. We'll be leaving early Friday morning, headed to Florida to spend time with my in-laws and everything. I promise you, try to only lick the clean windows and stuff. Keep things down. Just saying, I mean. Along with traveling, Connor LaChapelle, he will actually be leaving the 9th. And he's actually going to be traveling pretty much the whole month. Won't be back till the 23rd. He'll be out in Nevada with his grandparents out there. Along with that, Jason and Laura, they're going to actually take a couple of days for themselves on the 9th and the 10th and spend it up in the mountains. All right? We need to remember Tanja is going to have foot surgery on Monday coming up, so let's remember that. And then new classes. So this upcoming Sunday morning, Lord willing, July 5th, we will start the new classes. Talk with Jason and the deacons and everything. Even the teenage and high school class, even though we're going over the same material, still going to meet in the same room. Andy and Roger will probably work at the same pace that we're working here, right? Because I know y'all have been in this class this way. It continues that kind of study. So we're going to work it that way. Also, the duty sheet for July is on the back table. I know with the past few months, some of the men have come back ready to work. We may have missed putting your name on the sheet. It just kind of happens that way. So please get with us so we can make corrections to the sheet if you find a place you want to put your name in, or if you got the sheet and you don't think your name's on there enough, get with us so we can start getting that lined out and making sure that everything is right and everybody's having their opportunity to do the work that they want to do. Okay? Me? Anything? Nope. All right. With nothing else to be said, Brother Cliff, lead us in our closing prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Kind Father, we count it as an honor and a privilege to be here for this hour, the like-minded souls to open up a portion of the Word and even sing songs praising you. We thank you that we're able to get this knowledge. You preserve the Word from us. And we may grow in it, in the knowledge. Help us to be the light of the world and share the good news with others that we come in contact with. For someone took the time to share it with us. Be with so many of our congregation that are traveling during this holiday, during this summer, and pray that you continue to be with us and bring us back safely the next appointed hour. Be with my wife, Tanja. She undergoes foot surgery this next Monday, and we pray that the doctors and staff come away successful. Please forgive us of our sins and help us overcome our weaknesses. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, Daryl, do you see yourself